Just before we kind of start our time of prayer proper, I just want to say a few words really about all the big issues that have been going on in the UK and the USA over the last 2 or 3 weeks with the murder of George Floyd. And I realise this is a huge and complex issue and that everybody's going to have different views and it's quite controversial. But I just feel that as God's church, this is something that we do need to respond to, that it's something that we need to wrestle with, that we can't just kind of ignore it and pretend it's not all happening. And that just was brought home to me yesterday when I saw on Facebook that this lovely black lady who sells African sauces in the local produce market here in Bethesda, she lives in Penygroes, she woke up yesterday with a swastika painted on her garage, and it just brought it home to me. I just can't not say anything about it. I just want to give us some starting points as we think about this whole issue, and I hope you find it helpful. I trained as a social worker, and while I was studying in my social work course, we had a tutor who was mixed race, and she'd had a black Caribbean father and a white Welsh speaking mother. And she did a lecture for us all about race and about racism, and it was just really interesting. But she asked some searching questions, which really made me think and it made me reflect. And one of the questions she asked us, this group of social work students, was whether we'd ever had a racist thought. And I remember that quite a lot of us, we sort of got quite defensive, you know, because we were social work students, we were politically correct and right on, you know, we're not racist, you know. And then I looked at myself again, and I realised, even though I'd grown up in kind of multicultural cities, Bristol, Leicester, London, I'd lived in Birmingham, I'd even lived in Africa by that point, I thought of myself as quite aware and quite sympathetic. But I realised, yes, I had racist thoughts. Not deliberate, not with any malice, not with any hatred, but I definitely had had feelings of superiority, judgmentalism of people from other cultures and backgrounds, prideful thoughts, prideful in the worst sense of the word, feelings of entitlement, and perhaps that I wasn't interested in actually listening to other people who were different. And I think what's happening in the USA and the UK at the moment is one thing that's sort of happening, whatever you think about all the protests and things, is that quite a lot of white people like me, we're starting to actually examine ourselves and realise perhaps we have enjoyed a privilege and a head start that many other people have not enjoyed. And so I just want to give us a few starting points. If we're struggling to know how to respond to this as Christians, and particularly as white Christians, this is my starting points that I would give. Sorry, Bethan, boring. First of all, not to get defensive is the first thing, because it may be that actually God wants to change our hearts in this. It's the first thing. Second thing, just to be open to listening to other people and listening to the stories of people who are different from us. And it might be challenging, it might not be what we want to hear, and we might disagree with it, that's fine. But listening, I think, is really important, a really important starting point. Whether that be talking to people we know who are from other backgrounds and asking them what they think about it all, or reading a book or reading some articles. There's some good stuff on the Baptist Together website at the moment about it. And then thirdly, just to recognise the oppression and racism that black people in our society have faced and continue to face. I talked about that lady in Penygroes only yesterday, and our mixed race niece who lives here in Bethesda, she's experienced bullying and racial abuse. I think it does happen. It does happen. And finally, just to search our own hearts as well. Are there things that we need to repent of? Are there thoughts and attitudes there that shouldn't be there and which have no place in the kingdom of God? So that's just some starting points. And we're just going to start our prayer time today, just with a time of quiet.
as we think about some of those things. So let's just come before God. And I know that many of us will have conflicting thoughts and emotions about this. So we just bring these before God. And just use some words from Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God of justice, we cry out to you in the face of the injustice that we see in the world around us. When we're comfortable, it's easy to ignore it. But Lord, it's been brutally brought to our attention in the last few weeks. And as we wrestle with these issues, Lord, we pray that you will search our hearts. Help us to listen. Help us to know how we can and should respond. Help us not to be deaf to the stories and the suffering and the history of those who are different from us. And as we pray, thy kingdom come, we call to mind that vision of the kingdom of God as a place where every tribe and nation and language are gathered together around the throne and the Lamb. And as we pray, thy will be done, we pray, God of justice, against racism and injustice in all its forms in our world and in our society and in our own hearts. And as we pray, forgive us our trespasses, we call to mind anything within us that is not right. If we've had thoughts and attitudes, if we've said or done things, even without meaning to, and haven't realised the hurt that they might have caused. And forgive us the times we've perhaps stayed silent when we should have spoken. And Lord, we do remember your son Jesus, who was brutally murdered at the hands of the powers that be. And he prayed, Father, forgive them. So Lord, we thank you for your mercy. And we ask these prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to have our Bible reading now of Psalm 42. And you might recognise this person who is going to read it for us. It's not John this time.
Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God, under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
Thank you to Bill for that. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this psalm, and we thank you that we can indeed pray to you when we're happy or when we're sad. So we pray you'll speak to us as we think about it and meditate on it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in an in-between time at the moment, aren't we? It really does feel like everything's on hold. We don't know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen. We're just waiting, really. We're waiting for things to get better. We're waiting for all kinds of things. I know that some of us, some of you, are waiting for medical treatment, perhaps that you've waited for a long time, or waiting for operations. Maybe you're waiting for school or childcare to restart so that things can start getting back to normal, or waiting for our jobs, our businesses to be able to restart, waiting to see people that we love who we can't see still at the moment, some of us. Some people who've been on their own are just waiting to have some human touch, waiting to have a hug. And all of us are waiting to be able to walk down the street without that burden of having to worry about keeping our distance all the time. And we're waiting to be able to go back to church. We're waiting to be able to raise our voices together in worship once again. So how are you doing? How are you? When someone asks that question, our usual response is, oh, I'm okay, I'm fine, thanks. But the writer of this poem, the writer of this psalm that we just read, is not doing fine. In fact, you could actually say that he's depressed. He says, my tears have been my food day and night. He says his soul, his very being, is downcast. His soul is disturbed within him. It sounds like he feels he's overwhelmed, like he's drowning. He says, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. He feels like God has forgotten him. And he says his bones are in mortal agony. And then he's got these people around him who are taunting him and saying, where is your God in the middle of all this? And it sounds like he's kind of asking that same question as well. Where is your God? And it also sounds to me when I read this psalm like he's in a bit of an in-between time as well, like us. Because in verse 4, he's remembering the past and he's remembering how good it was. He says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. And he's remembering those good times celebrating in the past. And I think for a lot of us, we've got those memories as well at the moment, haven't we? Remembering happier times, times with family, with our church family, times of celebration, times of worship together, times when we used to go up to the house of God singing our praise together. And it's beginning to feel like quite a long time since we've been able to do that. So this kind of in-between time, I think one picture of it for me, I'll see if this works. Let's see, here we go. Yay, there we go. Hopefully you can see that. It feels like we're climbing a steep rock face. And if we look down, we can see where we've come from, and that's quite a nice place. But at the moment, the top of the cliff is just not visible. We don't really know where we're going. And perhaps some of us are getting a bit weary, and perhaps some of us are beginning to wonder, are we going to make it? And actually, when we do make it, what might the top of the cliff look like anyway? And a few weeks ago, we looked at Psalm 13, didn't we? And we looked at the importance of this tradition of lament in the Bible and in our own prayer lives as well. And here again in Psalm 42, we've got this psalm, this prayer, this song to God, which is deeply personal and it's brutally honest before God. This writer, he's not putting on a fake smile. He's not hiding his emotions here. But I also think there's another side to this psalm. I think it's a great one for us to be reading and meditating on and using in our prayer times at the moment, because it does let us be real. But at the same time, I think it also gives us some handholds and footholds on that cliff face that we're climbing, something solid to cling on to. And I just want to leave you with a few of those things this morning. First of all, it speaks of our need and our longing for God. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? I don't know if you've ever been thirsty, really, really, really thirsty. Like say you've run a marathon in the blazing sun and you're just desperate, desperate for some water. Because, you know, our bodies can last without food, can't they, for a while, but we just can't live without water. It only takes about 3 days for our bodies to get seriously damaged if we don't have water. Human beings can't live, can't function without water. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever felt like that about God, that same thirst, that desperation, that same longing. Because the same is true of God. The truth is we can't live without God. We can't function without God. He's the one that gives us life. He gives us breath. He's the one who made us. He's the one that knows us, that sustains us. He's the one that offers us unconditional love. He's the one who lifts up our heads and keeps us from falling. He's the only one who can rescue us from death. And he's the only one that can set us free from the cycles of sin and cycles of despair in which we find ourselves. So what does the deer do who's dying from thirst? The deer searches urgently, urgently searches for water until it finds it. It seeks out that water until it finds that mountain stream. What do we do when we're urgently thirsty for God? Well, many of us don't go searching for God. We try and find that satisfaction in other things, don't we? We try and find it in relationships. We try and find it in distractions like TV. We try and find it in food or in hobbies or in sex. You know, these things aren't bad things, but they're not going to satisfy us in the same way that that living water is going to satisfy us from that clear mountain stream. So this is the first foothold. When we're feeling dry, when we're feeling desperate, let's seek God first. Let's do it urgently. Let's go there first. And maybe like the lost sheep, we'll actually find that it's God that's been searching for us all along. And the second foothold that I think this psalm gives us is quite a practical one. And it's about preaching to ourselves, talking to ourselves. You know, a lot of this psalm is addressed to God. But also you'll notice that every so often the writer of the psalm kind of breaks out into talking to his own soul, talking to himself. And these same words come up again in verses 5 and 11. And they actually come again in the next psalm, verse 43. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. He's preaching to himself. He's talking to himself. He's giving his soul like a team talk, like the manager of a football team might do at half time. And this is something practical. This is something we can all do for ourselves. You know, when you're tempted to despair, when the cliff face seems high and the lockdown seems endless, we can remind ourselves of the hope that we have in Jesus. And there's loads of simple, easy ways to do this. We can sing a song to ourselves. We can put a CD on while we're driving or while we're washing up. We can write notes to ourselves and stick them around the house. You might have noticed some of the ones we've got are stuck on our kitchen cupboards. We can send ourselves a message, send ourselves an email or a text message. Just tell your poor old soul what it needs to hear. And something we can do at the moment as we're walking around and we see the rainbows in people's windows, let's remember that that rainbow is a sign of hope. It's a sign that God has not forgotten us, that God, as he remembered Noah, remembers us, that God cares for us and we do have hope. So that's actually the third stronghold, the third foothold. And that's the strongest, that's the most important. And that is knowing that our hope is in God and putting our hope in God. And there's a kind of paradox in this psalm in verse 8, because even when the psalmist is saying, oh, it's like God's forgotten me, at the same time, he's calling God his rock, God my rock. Because he actually knows, as we all know really, that however we feel, the reality is that God is there day and night. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. So we might only see that cliff face and that sheer drop, But the reality is that God is holding us in his hands. We might only see the one pair of footprints in the sand and think God's forgotten us, but the reality is that he's carrying us. He is our saviour. He's the one through Jesus who has rescued us from the power of sin, the power of despair, the power of death. So how are you? How are we doing? Don't despair. Don't despair, because we have an amazing and glorious hope. We have an amazing and glorious hope that one day we will see God face to face. We will see Jesus. We have an amazing and glorious hope that by faith through grace we will live forever in the life-giving presence of our life-giving God. We have an amazing and glorious hope that these light and momentary troubles will pass and that they cannot compare with the glory that has been prepared for us in Christ Jesus. And we have an amazing and glorious hope that our God will come in judgment and justice and will make things right in this broken world, and he will make all things new. So there's some words from the book of Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we long for you. We're thirsty for you. We want to meet with you. We need you, Lord. We need you like the deer needs those streams of water. We're desperate for you. So we pray that you would come to us. We pray that you would meet with us, that you would meet our needs. We pray that you would strengthen us when we're weary. We pray that you would lift our heads. And we pray that we would know your strength. And in times of trouble, we pray that you would be our rock, that you would lift us up. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.